So this is episode 4. But yeah, I watched it twice as I usually do, but this time, like sometimes when I watch it twice, on the second watch, I pick up a whole bunch of other like new stuff, or, you know, it gives me time to sort of like look at stuff without having to follow it as closely. But this time, I kind of like, I don't know, remembered a lot more of it. Like, I don't know if it's because the plots or the story seem to flow, or it might be that the themes, like each episode seems to have like a theme. Like the last episode with the hunt and the battle on the Stepstones was like fighting and physical conflict. This one, of course, would be sex, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, even starts off with Rhaenyra going through her matches.
She's like swiping on Tinder.
It's real life House of the Dragon Tinder. And then she like gives up and ends the tour, and they fight each other. Yeah. Right?
The little boy
takes out the other one.
Yeah.
It's like Colosseum Tinder.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, like obviously Rhaenyra's not keen on marrying. But like, whereas they sowed the seeds, they kind of grew a little bit in this episode, right? I actually really liked the scene where Daemon comes back from the Stepstones, and he has the crown, and there's that like tension in the throne room, because he's like, I made a little crown too.
And then he drops his head on his dad's shoulder.
Brother's shoulder, sorry. Don't worry,
yeah,
it gets confusing.
He gave himself that crown 100%. He's like, they named me the King of the Stepstones. Like, no, you named yourself the King of the Stepstones so you could do this political act and make a big deal about, you know, yeah, winning it for your brother or whatever.
I mean, you killed everyone in the Stepstones, right? You know, like, so like,
and his like, and the King's army never assisted Daemon at all, right? We said we were going to send
him. He went in and was like, I'll do it myself.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, we'll do it with the help of my friends, but I'm going to be the leader and set the model in the trap. Right.
Yeah. I wonder if the Stepstones becomes like one of the titles. It's not one of the titles that you see in Game of Thrones, right? You got the Andals, the First Men, the Rhoyna, the thingy, and the that, and the, you know, but. I don't know, like, maybe there's, like, a full list of titles, one of which might be the Stepstones, maybe, and this might be, I don't know.
Do they remain around for a long time, like, the titles, or do they, sometimes titles just get absorbed or disappear?
Yeah, what Daenerys' title is something crazy, like...
Yeah. Also, I don't remember, it could be my failing memory, I don't believe that they say the Rhoyna and the First Men in Game of Thrones, but they do in House of the Dragon. It's the Andals and the First Men in Game of Thrones, right?
Hmm.
I don't know. It changes, right? Like, and I'm sure each...
So in... Yeah. It changes all the time, because, like, with Daenerys, it was Daenerys Stormborn of House Targaryen. The first of her name, Queen of the Andals, and the First Men, Protector of the Seven Kingdoms, the Mother of Dragons, and then the rest is, like, just her specifically.
Yeah.
But I guess, yeah, King of the Andals and the First Men. And I guess, I don't know if they say the Rhoynar. Well, because the Dornish are the Rhoynar, and they haven't really conquered Dorne yet in this era. So I don't know. I don't think that'd be included.
Oh, right. So the Dornish come in later, do they?
Well,
they get married in, right?
Is I that... think so. They marry in later on. Oh. They're sort of like not fully a part of like the Seven Kingdoms in this era, not as much as they were in the Game of Thrones era.
Oh, cool. Alicent and Rhaenyra are still friends in this one, so they're not. They haven't rifted apart too much.
They're kind of like back and forth, right? They're kind of like apart, then they come back together, and then they argue again. And
yeah, they drift apart.
It's very off and on.
Yeah.
Very hot and cold.
Yeah.
I think this episode is because they both see how lonely the other one is, because
yeah.
Alicent super lonely as queen, and Rhaenyra is super lonely, but I think there's the rift happens again in the episode, all that other stuff goes down.
Yeah. Actually, I think like with this episode, one of the things they seem to like keep drawing towards is how opposite they are. Whereas, in fact, even
in what way?
Well, in their first scene together, Rhaenyra talks about how Rhaenyra talks about how she doesn't want to basically just churn out babies like queens have done in the past, right? And then Alicent sort of takes that a little bit personally. And then also, like, we see, like, when it comes to opposites as well, we see the two sex scenes as well, right? Where, or the two sort of, like, yeah, like, the how each of them are enjoying or not enjoying sex, right? So you got Alicent in a very, very, like, unemotional, unsatisfying sex scene. And then we've got Rhaenyra, who is getting a little bit excited with Daemon, but also when that doesn't go according to plan. We've got, what's his name? Queensguard.
Sir Criston Cole.
Yeah. Which, that armor just
broke his vows.
Broke his vows.
Always.
Yeah, how's he gonna, what if someone comes in, how's he gonna put all that armor back on? Like, quickly.
Yeah, he's got quite a large window of time he has to commit to get all that armor off and put it back on. So they're different in... So how are they... So what do you think is the thing that's keeping them bonded, despite how different they are? Is it the fact that they're alone in what they're facing? You think it's deeper? Like, you think that's what it is?
I think it's just because they're both alone in what's happening to them.
Are they, like, the same age? What's the age difference?
I think so. I think they're supposed to be
the same age.
They certainly sort of, seem to be of around the same age in the show. I don't know what it's like in the... In the books, they're a little...
They're probably, like, 18, 19 now, maybe. Or 20.
Yeah.
But they began as friends, like, in the beginning of the show. They were, like, much closer, so...
Mm.
There's still some of that, like, intimacy left.
Her dad married her best friend. And, like, would you be excited about that?
Also, like, her dad is also probably poisoning her against Rhaenyra as well. Like... Otto is stoking the flames of division between the two quite a lot because, of course, the big reveal of this episode is Otto is no longer Hand.
Yeah, right. Because they're on the same, they're on the same ground to start, and it's all the, like, status roles and all the politics that's putting tension on them, just seeing each other as humans, and now they only see each other as status roles, and that's where the strife is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what's interesting about this episode is like, it's a bit different to Game of Thrones in that, like, the women have a lot more, like, sexual agency than they, like, or, like, that's perhaps not the right way of saying it, but, like, the point of view, it's interesting to see the sex from the point of view from the women. You never see that in Game of Thrones, right? Even from Alicent, like, it was, like, focusing on her not enjoying it and considering it a duty. And then it follows Rhaenyra, where she's, you know, like, actively going out and, well, what did, and seeking
yeah,
a good
what
time.
Did, like, what did Rhaenyra say? What did Rhaenyra say to her dad, the king? Like, something about how if you were a man, you could do whatever you want, but because I'm a woman, different.
Yeah, I mean that's
yeah.
So she's sort of challenging, as she has done in a few cases now, the gender roles and gender norms of the day, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And Daemon also suggested that he marries her, too.
Yes.
When the king, like, held the knife to his throat.
And I believe that happens,
that's
but
when
I
the
don't
king
know
when. Thought that, when the king thought that they had actually had sex, though. Like, Daemon couldn't get it up. Did you guys watch the after episode?
Oh, no,
I didn't,
So they're talking about how everyone's like, oh, Daemon and Rhaenyra, they had sex, they did this and they did that, but he couldn't get it up. Like, his problem is he's impotent.
Was that in the after?
So he couldn't do anything to her.
I thought it was...
couldn't do anything to her.
Matt Smith talked about it a little bit.
Sex.
So
they weren't lying when they said that, like, nothing happened. Like, yeah, they made out and all that stuff, but they didn't do it.
Oh. Yeah, well, it looked
really,
like...
It's not really clear. But,
yeah, well, it looked like Daemon, like, sort of, like, lost interest when Rhaenyra was, like, into it. Like, that's, like, his thing was, is that he wanted, Like, he seemed like sort of like sick guy.
Wasn't he like totally drunk though when he, at that point?
I thought it was like, because there's like an effect that happens, right? Yeah, there's like a percussive kind of effect on the camera, right? At a certain point. And then he kind of gets distracted, fades off, or like basically disappears, right?
He walks away. He like abandons her and then.
Oh, he's got really powerful brakes.
I thought that was like, I thought that was like like a magic or something, or not like magic, or like being drugged or poisoned or something.
Hmm. I just thought that maybe he like had a split second where he thought about what he was doing. It's like, oh, I can't do this. This is my niece.
Well, I think it was all a little bit calculated too. I think he's like, like I can't just like fuck my niece. I have to go through the proper channels to do this.
Well, he did try to use the environment to his advantage. You know, like, he took her to a place where everything happening was of that sort of, like, what was going on around him. Yeah. So, that was the place, if it would happen, that it would fit in, you know?
Well, yeah. Well, I think part of what was in his mind is that he was thinking that, he's like, oh, like, to strengthen, you know, to basically put him in a position to be king, he would need to marry Rhaenyra, so he's like trying to, you know, like seduce her so that he can, like, you know,
right, he's trying to do it in like
go through the proper channels, go through Viserys and
trust,
get it all
signed
that way, because that's what he wants.
Well, I see, I don't know, like, I think from like, I think there's like a few things at play. I think he likes Rhaenyra on a number of levels, like politically in terms of power. Like, I think he certainly likes the idea of being king and has expressed that as early as episode one. But like, also he could just be attracted to sort of her agency and her power and her like mischievous, and the fact that they're quite like similar in personality, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there could be some sort of genuine connection there, right?
Yeah, he did touch the necklace he gave her too. Remember that?
Unless, of course,
necklace of the,
it's
whatever that is,
it's more calculated grooming, but then that kind of like, but then what happens sort of at the point where he wanders off? Like, that's why I thought it was like he was drugged or something. Because
was there like a little like biting session in the makeout sort of scene too, or some kind of like, is that just me remembering wrong?
I don't, like, possibly.
Like a kind of, like, not, like, really aggressive, but sort of, like, back and forth.
It's quite dark.
Kiss session. Because that's where he turned, that's where he, like, went away. It was right after that. But, I don't know, maybe it was, like,
it was like
she was being aggressive, and he
don't know if it was fighting. I think she was just trying to kiss him and, like, try to help him a bit. And like, she was doing it real quick, and I think he just got frustrated.
Well, it's more like, like there was pecking, or like
pecking. It was like a pecking or something. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe right. They have similar personalities. Maybe it's a sort of right. Somebody has to initiate, and somebody has to lead, as we saw in the next scene after that. But they're both kind of aggressive.
Yeah, they were. That's the thing. They were back and forth. They were both sort of like. They were both, you know,
competition or something.
Sort of, you know, and I think maybe the fact that they were both sort of engaging, I guess, was kind of like a little bit more symbolic in terms of how similar they are, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
being
know.
Being drunk during that could definitely change the dynamic.
Definitely, yeah. Who's the prostitute that he did wake up with?
That was the girl that from the first few episodes, right?
That was the one that he said he was gonna marry, or and was pregnant.
Yeah,
I was pregnant. She wasn't.
Yeah. Let's see.
I don't remember the name.
Okay, here we go. It was Masseria.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
So he woke up with that room that she put him in.
So I think she might have sabotaged the thing. Yeah. Like, that was what I was kind of getting from it, is that she's the saboteur.
Really?
She, like, possibly. And how, like, because, like, Otto found out, and he was very well informed by it, it seems. So I think, possibly. I don't know, maybe she's playing both sides, or maybe she's a, you know, player in this game.
She did, didn't she?
She's just trying to get back at Damon.
Didn't she hand off money to somebody? She did give money to
the little
to
boy. The little boy that told out him.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And also, I just think it's worth noting, and I noticed this from the beginning, is that Masseria is, like, she is quite, she's quite high up the casting list. She is, well, she's 10 characters. She comes below, just below Lord Corlys and the Grand Maester and Lionel Strong, so like just below the council, you know the small council. She's like a character, sort of a cast, you know, a cast character just beneath them. So she's like, she's not a nobody.
Well, she's kind of in the middle of everything going on, right? Adjacent to the main stuff happening. So yeah, that makes sense.
So yeah,
but yeah, I think maybe she sabotaged it. Possibly.
Yeah, I suspect so. I mean, I also, just as a side note, in terms of conspiracy and Otto Hightower and all that kind of stuff, it still hasn't, like, there's still nothing has like come to light that has disproven my hypothesis that Otto Hightower might be behind the crab feeder. Like, it...
Oh, I don't think it'd be... At this point, I don't think it'd be Otto, because I think Otto is taking orders from his older brother, which I didn't realize last week when... with last week's episode, that guy that's telling Otto, it's like, you have to make sure that... As the hand of the king, he has to make sure that Aegon is the heir. That's his older brother.
Yeah, I don't know. So did you take that as taking orders, though? I took that as more as just a sort of, like, I don't know, brotherly conspiracy, I guess. I suppose, I mean, the difference is maybe a bit academic, right?
Yeah, well, I think if anything, it's not just Otto. It's the group of noble lords,
yeah, and the high towers as well as a force,
yeah.
Who do you reckon?
The high towers. I think they were like the most powerful family in Westeros prior to the Targaryens and the Valyrians,
yeah,
coming.
And they I think they remain pretty powerful throughout the history of it all. Even in Game of Thrones, for the most part, they just don't feature much in the story.
I believe,
yeah. Who do we reckon is going to be the next Hand of the King, though? That's going to be quite interesting.
I like the guy, Lionel Strong.
Lionel Strong
should be the Hand of the King.
He's kind of interesting. I don't know much about him, but he does seem to be a little bit like his advice seems reasonably sensible, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. He was the only one that wasn't self-interested when, you know, talking to Viserys in the previous episode.
About the marriage.
That's right, about the marriage, yeah, about who Rhaenyra should marry.
Yeah.
I'll probably end up being...
Quite possibly, yeah. So, yeah, I suppose so. Lionel Strong does seem like the obvious next one. Possibly the Maester. Maesters have been hands before, I believe. Or at least maybe.
I think so.
I think I remember Grand Maester Pycelle mention it once or twice to Cersei. Or Robert Baratheon, one of them anyway. A lot of people were saying that this episode was up there with some of the earlier seasons of Game of Thrones. Is this the best episode of the season so far, do you think?
I don't know. People probably aren't happy about all the making out.
Yeah, but that's just game. Like, that's just like the Game of Thrones kind of thing.
Yeah, so this get over it. this was very, like, what's it, like, not sensitive, but like well done for Game of Thrones, right? Like, there have been times, particularly in the earlier seasons of Game of Thrones, but also sometimes in the later seasons, where it's just been being gratuitous or like jarring or just not done very well. But there was nothing that was going on here that felt out of place. Like, it all felt like it fitted within the theme of the episode, yeah. Right? Which was sort of like, you know, sex, connection, little bit of romance, little bit of political, political matching, all that kind of stuff. Like, it explored the more personal side to political marriages, I guess. And I think they did that really well, better than Game of Thrones, to be honest. And it is interesting, like it does seem that this like sort of romance or like love, sex, you know, that's like the theme of this episode, whereas like hunting, violence and killing was the theme of the last episode. And so it'd be interesting to see if they carry on with like a theme of the week, as it were, or like an aspect of the week that they sort of draw parallels between the high, like Team Hightower, Team Targaryen, right?
Yeah, there's like a common thread that they sort of, there's a common thread through all of the scenes that makes like, that sort of reveals the characters as well when they pick a common theme. Like you saw how people treated the hunt in the previous episode, and the theme for this one.
So, one of my previous gripes with the show, and I think it probably still stands true, is that it's a little bit like serious. Now, it was less so this time with, you know, like a little bit more sex thrown in, but also the mummers with the story and that. But like when they did that in Game of Thrones, they made it funnier. This time they had like, I don't know, it didn't feel particularly like much other than just explaining the story from the commoner's point of view, right? Like it didn't.
I agree with you.
Like they could have made that funny, you know, but it's not. It was just like, it was just basically a way of Rhaenyra understanding how commoners viewed her, which is going to be interesting and probably is going to affect her actions, choices later on down the line as well, I assume.
Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm.
I think knowing how people view you is like with anybody, right? Not just like royalty.
Mm-hmm.
No, we'll see. It's gonna be good.
Mm. Oh, I don't know if I've seen the thing for next episode, the preview.
I don't think
it's gonna be really good.
What was given to Rhaenyra?
Oh yeah, it's there's gonna be a wedding.
What was that? What did they give her to cure moon her tea. Ails?
Oh,
that's like the morning after pill. That's like plan B.
Oh yeah,
that's what I figured. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little. That's actually kind of a little bit of an insight. So yeah, because Cersei had moon tea when she was married to King Robert, because she did not want to foster any of the king's children. So yeah.
Oh, there was a meme on Twitter about.
Go ahead, Stace.
I was just saying there was a meme on Twitter with this like shocked face. It's like when you find out that your dad knows all along. You had sex. It's like, yep.
Hey. Yeah. Well, he still thinks it was Damon, I think.
But... Still thinks it was Damon, even though
Sir Criston
told Allison.
Yeah. What was interesting is also that, like, they didn't, or particularly Alison and Viserys, didn't really care whether or not it was true, but whether or not it was perceived as true. Like, the perception of truth is the thing that hangs in the balance, right? What people believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the truth gets out the cracks, you know? Nothing you can do about that. It's going to escape. That's the truth that got out, though, because the Sir Criston situation is the truth that didn't get out, because there was that happened, right? In a place where there's no outside watchers or no ability to pay anybody to see what was going on.
Yeah, that's not a problem. Rhaenyra might not, you know, face any like repercussions for that because no one knows about it. So it's about the perception.
Unless he freaking rats himself out.
Well, right. Yeah, but of course, Kingsguard are not allowed to do anything. They take a oath of celibacy. So it's almost kind of like. She's chosen the best bedfellow in that regard, because
he can't tell anyone.
You can't talk, you know. You can't talk. Yeah,
she
really.
had that benefit, and she was also like already built like intimacy with him, so it made sense that it was, you know, and it wasn't just infatuation, passion alone, because they've had conversations and they went on the hunt together and.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I think, so that's why I was... like she knew what she wanted, right? Like she went after it.
She let him on.
Yeah, he was like
she had to make him feel comfortable enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Which in the other situation, Damon was the one leading Rhaenyra on, but in that situation, she held the upper hand and she held the power there.
Yeah, yeah, and that's kind of interesting, right? Like, I suppose the closest we saw with Cersei. But even Rhaenyra seems to be exercising more agency than Cersei ever did. So, or it's certainly in terms of that from her point of view, I suppose, because Cersei was often railroaded into doing a lot of things that she didn't want to do, and I suppose Rhaenyra is in many ways the same. So she's kind of rebelling, I guess, in that essence. So
yeah, well, I mean, Cersei also, like, when Jaime was gone, she was screwing cousin Lancel and everything. So she did have a little bit of agency.
This is true.
But I think, well, Rhaenyra is a character that we're actually supposed to like, so it's interesting to see it from her perspective.
Well, though, actually saying that, right, with Cersei, when she has sex with people that weren't Jaime, it was for manipulative reasons, right? Even with Lancel, she was manipulating him. And to be fair, she was, in many cases, manipulating Jaime as well, particularly in the books. Whereas with Rhaenyra, she was literally doing it for fun, because she wanted to, because she wanted, the normal reason to have sex, right?
Release of energy.
True.
Well, I think part of it, too, is, I don't know, maybe people are motivated, right? You said manipulation, if you use just infatuation to manipulate people, and they just want infatuation out of it, thinking they're going to get something else, that's a good way. But I feel like people usually stick close to the people that they're intimate with.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there's a power structure, in the case of the queen, and it's just commitment alone. And there's I feel like between the queen and the king, there was some intimacy to start because they actually talked about stuff together. So maybe that's why it made sense that he married Allison. But
hey, sorry.
There's a lot of commitment is empty love, and it's just commitment alone. There's no intimacy at all, which is what that scene showed with Allison. Just popping out kids.
Yeah.
It's not you also passion at all.
Yeah. That's a good point. And about Allison. And also in that scene, you the way you see Viserys, he's not in good shape.
Oh no.
No, his health is deteriorating.
I think he'll probably be dying in the next episode or the episode after.
Is that the spot on his back? What did we decide that was?
He looked like half a zombie.
All kinds of infections.
Yeah.
Tetanus or something?
Tetanus, just general bacterial infection.
It's spreading, it's all over it's almost a fourth of his back now.
Yeah. He's not in great condition. And I think you could say that might be a little bit poetic, a little bit of a metaphor for the duties of the kingdom just wearing him down. The throne is killing him, as it were. You see that kind of imagery a fair bit. Sometimes, literally, sometimes you see, the throne cut him and, death by a thousand.
He's lost two fingers already.
Yeah.
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 So,
pokey throne.
Yeah. But we are.
This episode really showcased. If you look at, I know the three kinds of different love you have. You have romantic, companionate, and fatuous, and they're all covered in this episode.
Yeah.
There's intimacy and passion. There's also intimacy and commitment, but there's also fatuous love, which is just passion and commitment, which is they're all covered. So they really hit all three of those.
And it's interesting. It applies to other episodes as well, but this episode in particular, how the term marriage and duty are in the same sentence, right? When marriage and duty, the idea that it's almost a given, that it goes without saying that marriage is a duty. And I think Rhaenyra doesn't agree with that. And I don't think Daemon agrees with that either, so...
they probably have that in common. There you go.
But also, of course, Criston Cole is obviously he's duty bound. So, I think you can almost even see it in his eyes where it's I can't say no, but I can't say yes.
You're between a rock and a hard place.
well, hey.
Yeah, think about being in that situation. You can't say no to the heir, the throne.
He doesn't want to jeopardize that intimacy that he's built,
Mm. And
because all they had before that was just intimacy, and now it's they're in the intimacy and passion category.
Yeah,
but they also she also I mean they also knew each other for a long time, so that's kind of commitment too.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Like
before he was
3 or 4 years, maybe yeah. 4 years that Kristen Cole's been by Rhaenyra's side. So you know, it's not.
Wow, they almost have like they have like consummate love. They have intimacy, passion, and commitment.
Yeah,
that's like the sweet spot.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, I suppose so.
That's you guys think
what?
Sorry.
What? Go ahead.
I know. Do you guys think it's weird how the king told Aemon, like, you can't marry your niece, but they're going to marry her off to her cousin? It's like the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's weird, isn't it? that
yeah,
one's
but he's
okay, but one's not.
Yeah. But one, he like perceives one as solving a problem, but the other is not, is just hurting things, because he thinks that, you know, marrying her off to the Valyrians is going to be a solution to his political problems and people not supporting Rhaenyra as heir, but I think it's going to probably end up causing more problems down the line, because then, you know, the next heir after her wouldn't be, you know, of House Targaryen, they'd be of House Valyrian. So that, I think, is going to lead people to support Aegon. So maybe if he did marry her to Daemon now, there'd be less controversy about the succession down the line.
Yeah, but also I think that I gathered that the big reason he didn't want Daemon to marry Rhaenyra was because it would give Daemon a huge amount of political power. That, to me, that seemed like the real sticking point. It's like the ambition, because the sort of the ending note on the episode was Daemon was being ambitious and Otto Hightower was being ambitious. And he seemed to be kicking back against that. I would imagine
now he's not the hand anymore.
Yeah. Cause there was talk, although dismissed quickly, about, Rhaenyra marrying, Aegon.
Nice.
As just a way to smooth things over, which it may well have done, but I don't think Rhaenyra would have stood for that, and I don't. Yeah, no,
probably not.
No. but yeah, like, yeah, I suppose so. I think the only issue with Daemon, I mean, Daemon is ambitious, and I think Daemon probably has. Like, he does have the crown in his sights because he's talked about it in episode one, but it doesn't bridge any gaps, right? Like, it doesn't for example, marrying a Valyrian would provide you with an army, right? Or provide you with ships and also a political alliance, despite those ships being heavily battered in episode 3, I think it was. So, I don't know, like, we do know that the Valyrians are definitely making moves, because they made a marriage alliance with the First Lord of Braavos, right? So,
yes.
There's something brewing here. So, yeah, it'd be kind of interesting to see, what the...
I really have no idea who's going to end up on whose side when everything goes down. The show is doing a pretty good job of, like, well, this family could go this way or that way. Cause like, it's really going to come down to Rhaenyra versus Aegon, I think. And people are going to take sides, and like, where are all the Valyrians going to end up on the same side? Or where is Daemon going to be?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the deal with the dragon, like, hitting the ship, too? I don't... The dragon that, like, flew and almost knocked into the ship? I don't know.
I think that's
that was significant Daemon at all. Just showing off.
He's Daemon, yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Daemon being Daemon.
So, yeah. I think this episode was the best in the series so far. I think it did a great job at storytelling, and... perhaps wasn't as dour as previous episodes, despite it not being hugely lighthearted. But it had a bit of fun, like, you know, you had Rhaenyra and you had Daemon, like, exploring the town a little bit and that kind of stuff, I guess. But yeah. Any final thoughts?
It could go any way. Like, that's the nice thing about it. It's just not super predictable. So
yeah,
we need to see what sides people take and what this sows.
All right.
The ending of it set up really well for next week. So.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Thank you, folks at home, for joining us. We'll see you next week, and toodaloo.